No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue.
Welcome to the show and a good Monday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 7:08 after 7. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Gang's all here tonight. Buford produces the show. Longoria and that stoic Eskimo work ethic on the other side of the takeout window. And welcome back from some sort of hunting trip, Low T.
Low T.
Good to have everyone back. We'll start the weekend wrap-up with Low T, who took a long, long weekend to go hunting in North Georgia. What were you hunting for, a snipe?
Yeah, I wish. I probably would have been more lucky. No, I was deer hunting, and I had a few bear encounters, but I didn't actually get anything.
Brown, black, grizzly?
Not brown bears. Black bears.
Black bears. All right. So we know how to handle those.
Yeah. It's a little unnerving at 1 a.m. when it comes sniffing your tent, though, yeah. And you're in your underwear, and it's not... not the scene I want to play out.
Chuck's in his Superman underoos.
Yeah.
And a black bear is sniffing around your
tent.
That's
the last thing I want them finding.
But then you huddled up with Phil and everything was all right.
I was alone. Yeah. I wasn't huddled with Phil.
You went alone?
Yeah.
You went hunting alone?
I always do.
What up, Eric Robert Rudolph?
Who's that?
Yeah, that's Eric Robert Rudolph.
Really? You don't know who Eric Robert Rudolph
is? I have no idea who that is.
Come on, guys.
He bombed Centennial Olympic Park. He was hiding
in
North
Carolina. Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm not doing any of that.
Yeah, living in the woods in North Carolina by himself. Why? Do you always go hunting by yourself?
Yeah.
That's not really safe. I guess it's like a mental thing for you.
It's not. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, like an escape. Like, oh, my God, I'm going to be a dad.
No, I don't think about that at all.
Well, welcome back, Longoria. How's your weekend?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Yeah, Buford?
It was great.
Me too. Everything was all right. Yeah. Bill Crane joins us in studio, WSB Political Analyst. How was your weekend, buddy?
My dogs had a very good weekend in Jacksonville, so I have no complaints.
And just to know, tomorrow on the show, WSB Sports Director Jay Black's going to join us live when the playoff rankings come out. So we'll hear that live here on WSB. Go Dogs, ranked second in the country in the AP poll. That's huge. And I am not going to Georgia Florida games anymore because every time I go they lose. So I'm
done. You're the reason. Stay here.
I'm staying right here, listening on the radio, listening to Scott Howard. That was a huge, huge win. And the Falcons managed to squeak one out on the Jets. But you know what? Johnny Kilbasa will join us with a football minute next hour to break it all down. Today on the show, we do have Johnny Kilbasa. We're going to do Movie Monday in the second hour. But obviously, if you're just getting in the car, there was a lot of breaking news politically. That's why Mr. Crane is joining us here. Two indictments and one... What do we call it? What happened with the
guilty plea?
I think
that's the bigger news of the day, actually.
If folks just getting in their car, Bill, recap if you can quickly. What happened today? What did we learn today?
Well, not in the order announced, but I think in order of importance. George Papadopoulos, who is a member of the campaign's foreign policy team, pled guilty on October the 5th, but they just released his sealed plea today, along with two indictments of Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign chairman, who was fired from the campaign in August. The reason cited at the time was he disclosed millions of dollars in previously undisclosed fees consulting to Russians who were trying to affect elections in the Ukraine. And one of his chief deputies, a gentleman named Rick Gates, who stayed on with the campaign longer and up until 2 weeks ago was working on shutting down the expenditures of the Trump inauguration. Not exactly people we would call distant satellites of the president, any of these three.
Yeah.
But to the president's benefit— neither the Manafort nor Rick Gates indictment specifically referenced any actions during the Trump campaign or post in the Trump White House. Mr. Manafort was gone from the Trump campaign in August, and most of the activities laid out, money laundering and other things, occurred between 2004 and 2014. I will point out that the accusation is based on tax records and banking records that they have of Mr. Manafort's, perhaps seized from his home as well as his financial institutions, $75 million worth of undisclosed political consulting fees. I've run some campaigns before, but whew, never
done. Are you putting those bills?
Never done that well. And those dollars primarily kept offshore in banks in Cyprus, the Seychelles, and the Grenadine Islands.
Let me ask you, before we get to Papadopoulos, which we both think is the bigger issue here, the first count of the 12 leveled against Manafort and Gates, conspiracy against the United States. What exactly does that mean? That sounds ominous.
Well, there's a federal law that's sort of the precept of this entire investigation, and that is foreign governments are not allowed to impact or have influence upon the U.S. elections process. Mm-hmm. So in that, the crux of the entire investigation is the Russian government certainly attempted to have influence, did it, and where and how. And so if there's a belief that through their work in consulting, building relationships, trying to hook up the president, Mr. Trump, when he was a candidate with Vladimir Putin, which actually was done by Mr. Papadopoulos, not by Mr. Manafort and Mr. Gates, that there's linkage. I will also point out to the president's benefit, I think that there's also enough smoke there now that we know that the Clinton campaign funded the dossier on Mr. Trump when he wasn't a candidate, when he was just a well-heeled developer with a lot of time on his hands, that there may be some looking at both sides of the aisle in both campaigns as this investigation moves forward. And unlike what the White House says, it's not going to end anytime soon.
WSB political analyst Bill Crane joining us on the Mark Arum Show. Let's go back to George Papadopoulos, because this was the bombshell. This wasn't an indictment. This was a deal breached, right? This was
this is a guilty plea. And if you read the actual plea, which is available on AJC.com under Jim Galloway's Political Insider column, it goes into great detail about his emails and his lies to the FBI as it related to attempting to set up on multiple occasions meetings between those in the Russian government who alleged to have bad information, particularly emails, about Secretary of State Hillary Clinton that would damage her campaign, and in a couple of different instances trying to set up meetings between then-candidate Trump and Vladimir Putin.
What's amazing to me is he was arrested back in July, right? And so, I mean, we talk about leaks, but no one even this wasn't on anyone's radar, this Papadopoulos deal.
We have to wonder, since he was arrested, pulled off a plane, as we understand it, in late July, mm-hmm. and he didn't enter the plea until October, and it doesn't take that long to put a plea deal together, if maybe he didn't wear a wire for a little bit of time mm-hmm. wandering around talking to some of his old buddies the last couple of months. It didn't say in the plea what they're recommending in terms of sentencing for him, so I would assume since he's cooperating, they will use him to try to get at or information out of other people around the press.
What's been the reaction, if any, from the White House today on these charges?
Thus far, kind of a repeat of the standard talking points that there's still a nothing burger. Mm-hmm. There's no there. The president's tweet, there's no collusion as it relates to the indictments of Manafort and Gates, and no direct activity in those indictments, although it does say the conspiracy continued up into February of 2017 to the president himself or his campaign. Not so much with the Papadopoulos conviction and plea, but with those two bigger fish, at least at this point, no direct gun, smoking, or otherwise pointed at the White House or President Trump. I will mention one of the better interviews I saw on Reaction today was Senator Robert Whitehouse. That's kind of a cool name.
Very
Senator
cool.
Whitehouse, a Democrat of Rhode Island, who was warning against the president thinking about pardons or any action against Mueller or his chief deputy at this point, because this investigation is not wrapping up. It is just ramping up.
Yeah. And this was the first, you know, the first sign that there has been something productive, because I know there's been a lot of talk about this is a waste of taxpayer dollars. There's nothing there. Does this kind of, silence those voices, or is this, you know, the fact that Manafort and his compadre, I keep forgetting the other guy's name.
Rick Gates. Like Bill Gates. The 5 months in, it may not, I don't think it's the enchilada by any means, but it was income tax evasion that got Al Capone.
Yeah.
If I was Paul Manafort with houses that the IRS can easily seize, a grand manor in Arlington, Virginia, and a nice condominium townhome in New York, among other residences, I'd be concerned.
Is Mueller's game in this with the Manafort and Gates indictments to get them to flip on someone in the administration, or do you think this is just a standalone kind of thing?
Well, I know there are a lot of people who would sit here and try to tell you that Robert Mueller is a Democrat. He was appointed by George W. Bush. I think he's about the law and the facts, and mm-hmm. so I think he's trying to get at the facts. I think it'd be easier to make that case if he was simultaneously investigating Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. but it's possible, as you pointed out how tight things were on this indictment and conviction, that he is, and we just don't know about it. So I think he's going to be very methodical in rolling out further indictments, potentially further pleas. But yes, certainly these two who pled not guilty today and the one who did, all of whom are in a potential situation to support the federal government's case and bring forward other information that we don't know now.
talking to WSB political analyst Bill Crane on the Mark Arum Show about the indictments and the conviction today in regards to the Russian investigation from Robert Mueller and the special counsel. So the Manafort and Gates pled not guilty. This will probably be a long legal process, right? This isn't something.
Well, certainly. I mean, if you think about Watergate, which didn't, you know, at least in its initial stages, result in any criminal charges, it did later. That went on, basically drug on for almost 2.5-3 years. So this is not, as much as the president would like it to, going to go away or fade in the next 3 to 6 months. As he's done in other areas, when he's done well, stick to script. Stay on the focus on the issues that you're supporting, tax reform, health care reform, your legislative agenda, and let this play out.
I'm glad you brought that up. So a lot of the listeners right now, obviously very interested in the possible tax reform that the president is pushing forward. Does this create a speed bump in the road for tax reform?
I don't think this does as much as the president's tendency to attack U.S. senators. Whether it's Bob Corker or Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona or John McCain, mm-hmm. he needs all 52 Republican votes because the path they've taken and have chosen only includes Republican votes. They're not trying to build a tax policy that has support across the aisle. So he hasn't got a lot of wiggle room. And to the extent, whether you like them, loathe them, or love them, you need those 52 senators to support whatever that final bill is. And there's a lot of picking at the bill right now. States want to maintain the income tax deduction for people who pay their state income taxes. A lot of large blue states, that's a lot of dollars. The Democrats would have you believe that's a lot of middle-class taxpayers that benefit from that deduction. Mm-hmm. We could sit here and talk all night about all the other lobbyists that are trying to save existing pieces of the tax code. The president wants a very streamlined, simplified, lower tax rates. And that's much easier said than it is done.
Real quick, wrapping up with Bill Crane, WSB political analyst. You mentioned Flake, Corker, McCain. Been very outspoken against the Trump presidency. They haven't gone off the reservation, though, when it comes to the issues, right? I mean, we can assume they're yes votes on tax reform or no.
Corker has said it has to be revenue neutral, which means it can't be a major enhancer of the deficit or expander of the deficit. McCain hasn't spoken much on tax reform. Jeff Flake, I wouldn't count on that one right now.
Bill Crane, thanks for staying late after school to join us bananas.
Take care.
Appreciate you. A reminder, at 9 p.m., WSB's Jamie Dupree will have a live online chat about the Manafort indictment tonight at 9 p.m. on WSBRadio.com. He's going to answer your questions, take your comments. That's Jamie Dupree, WSB Washington Insider, 9 p.m. on WSBRadio.com. We will be doing Movie Monday, so Longoria's picked a movie soundtrack that he'll play throughout the show. At the end of the show, if you guess the movie soundtrack, you win the WSB prize pack. We'll spend some time about the Manafort indictments, but only in the Mark Arum Show way, of course. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. It's Movie Monday on WSB. Welcome back to the show, 725, 56 degrees on Peachtree Street. It was freezing this morning, 31 windy degrees. Were you freezing up in the mountains this weekend, or no, you were good? Wearing your...
It was cold as hell.
Wearing your underoos?
Yeah.
Did you kill anything?
I did not.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Good
for
the
animals. He was just up there yelling at trees.
Good for the animals.
I was not yelling at trees.
I don't want to spend a ton of time on the Manafort thing, because that's not what we do here on the show, and we're going to spin it into a fun topic. Did you see some of the fines and penalties that these guys are facing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what was that? Anyway.
You know what it was.
So both of them are out on bond right now. House arrest. Manafort paid a $10 million bond. Gates was released on a $5 million bond. And they're both under house arrest right now. But of the 12 charges, it's crazy. Conspiracy against the United States, which I thought sounds like the most ominous charge. Mm-hmm. The max fine there is $10,000 and up to 5 years in prison. Conspiracy to money launder is up to 20 years in prison and either a fine of $500,000 or twice the monetary value of the property involved in transaction. Failure to file reports of foreign bank and financial accounts. Fines up to $100,000 and 10 years in prison. The counts of filing reports to a foreign bank and financial accounts, up to 10 years in prison, 100,000. I mean, you stack these charges up, like that's like 200 years of jail time.
Don't you think it's great, though, that they say you can conspire against the United States of America, and we don't think that's as big a deal
as money laundering.
Screw us
tax
on
evasion.
Getting our tax
exactly
money back.
Right.
Like, that's clearly more important.
It's crazy.
That made me.
But
laugh
I would. I think
that
the conspiracy against the U.S. like those things, those laws probably go back to like the 1700s. You know, and they're like $10,000. You know what? we'll ruin them forever. $10,000 fine. But it's crazy. I'm just curious to see how this all plays out. All right, how are we going to talk about this on the Mark Arum Show? When I hear the name Manafort, I just think about forts. Did you have a fort growing up as a kid?
Oh yeah.
Did you have a fort growing up as a kid, Longoria?
Yeah.
A Pueblo fort?
It was called the Wall.
Was it made of adobe? An adobe fort?
Yeah.
Beaufort, did you have a fort?
We had a whole town of forts.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about that in the Manafort investigation and indictment. I had a fort in my backyard. I'm going to tell you why it was very important to my emotional and mental development. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. On Twitter and Instagram at Mark Arum. Don't forget, live chat with Jamie Dupree, 9 p.m. tonight on the Manafort indictment, online at WSBRadio.com. News, weather, traffic next. This is the Mark Arum Show.
I live my life like this. This is Henry Winkler. How are you? And you're listening to the Mark Arum Show. How lucky are you?
It's so good to be born in America, where all men are free. It's so good to be born in America, all the home of the red, the white, and the blue.
Welcome back to the show, 7:38:22 in front of 8 o'clock. Mark Arum at your beck and call till 9 in the p.m. here on WSB. The gang all here, Buford, Longoria, and Low T.
Low T.
Thanks to Bill Crane for discussing the Manafort indictment. What I missed the evening news with Eric Erickson today. What did he have to say about all this?
Pretty much everything that
Bill said.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a recap.
The Papadopoulos thing is probably.
I just love that guy's name.
Yeah. That was Webster's dad.
It was. Yeah. That's what I told Chuck. George I was like, that Papadopoulos. Was Webster's dad.
Save that for Millennial Match Game.
Okay.
Who was George Papadopoulos?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
They won't know either one of them.
What do we have coming up on the show? Oh, we're going to do Movie Monday. I'm debating whether or not do a Kevin Spacey themed Movie Monday because he's been in the news. Probably will shy away from that.
maybe wait till next week. Yeah.
Johnny Kilbasa will have a football minute for us. A reminder, 9 p.m. I'm going to be on there, so log on to WSBRadio.com. Jamie Dupree will have a live online chat about the Manafort indictment and the Papadopoulos story. So if you want to pick the brain of Jamie Dupree, and who doesn't, you can do that at 9 p.m. on WSBRadio.com, and I'll be on there too. I'm going to be asking Jamie questions. I was emailing him all morning this morning when these stuff was coming down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I hate when news breaks at like 10 a.m. because I'm supposed to be sleeping at 11 a.m., but I can't turn off the coverage.
No.
I just want to know. So I'm exhausted today is the bottom line. Anyway, we're not going to really discuss the political angle of Manafort, but I want to talk about forts.
I love forts.
So when I moved into my house in Connecticut, I guess I was 5 or 6 years old, and the previous owner had built a fort in the woods, which is weird now that I look back because he didn't have any kids.
yeah.
Which is kind of weird, right?
Yeah, no,
that just
really
occurred
weird
to me as it was coming out of my mouth. It was a single guy.
Yeah.
That's shady.
Yeah. Mm.
What's
a
single dude building a fort in the woods?
Probably for nefarious reasons.
I guess. Oh, that's creepy now.
Yeah, and you hung out there your whole childhood.
But this was a pimp fort. This is really shady now that I think about it. So anyway, it was like a log cabin fort, but not like huge logs.
Yeah.
But he would slice like big pieces, like, I don't know, 4 inches wide of wood. And those were the walls. And he had a tin roof. Like it was, and it was centered around, there was four trees around. It was awesome. It was the bomb fort of all bomb forts. And I think that's probably when my parents bought that house.
Just for the fort?
Yeah, they're like, well, this will shut this crazy kid up. We'll throw him in the woods.
Let's put him in that creepy
but
guy's
fort. But it was.
Like I thought when he built it, that'll shut this crazy kid up.
But
Sorry. Too soon.
I'm going to have to go to counseling to think about this. I mean, I never hung out with the guy in the fort, but why would it?
I hope not.
He already moved out of the house.
Maybe the prior owner of the house built the fort. Maybe I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I very well could have been. Yeah.
You sure it wasn't used for like log storage or something?
No. This was a real fort? A real fort. It was. So anyway, but what was so cool about it was, you know, at 8, 10, 12 years old, it was like a place to go with the friends. We're away from your parents. You could, you know, you hide the Playboys there. You hide your firecrackers there. Whatever. It was like a dude's, like man cave for a kid.
It was an early man cave.
Yeah. And it was, I'm like thinking back memories. We'd go in there in Connecticut. It's freezing. Middle of winter, February, 10 degrees out. But, you know, at 7 years old, we have the imagination. And we're like, we had a fake heater. It was like just this wooden box. And we'd be like, I'll just turn the heater on. You know, and we take our jackets off and we're like, oh, it's nice and warm in here. And, you know, just totally.
All catching pneumonia.
Yeah, exactly right. Snot running down our nose. And we're like, oh, the heater's working.
That was the best part, was just making up scenarios.
Exactly. Because it could double as an army fort.
Yep.
Like, oh, we're getting attacked by Indians. Or, you know, it was a very important. Now that I look back, it was a very important part of my childhood. Having that experience, that thing to go, and I know that nowadays with kids with Xboxes and the internet, you know, try getting a kid to go outside to play in the woods with a fort. But my backyard was magical because behind the fort, I don't know, a quarter mile back was a stream, and then there was like rocky cliffs, and it was, you just go out and you know, you let your imagination take over. Like, you know, we'd have our guns, and we'd be shooting in the wood. I mean, it was really, and now that I think about it, and I haven't really thought about it in a long time until the Mana Fort came out today. Because that was the first thing I thought. I was like, oh man, I miss my fort.
I don't think kids get enough. I don't think they have that experience anymore.
No.
I don't think so.
What was your fort like in Montana?
We had a couple of them. A lot of times we used to, after Christmas, we would go through the alleys and we would take all the Christmas trees and we'd take our little hatchets and we'd trim them down into just the pole.
So you'd have like little logs.
Yeah, and then we'd have logs and then we'd go and try to tie them together. And we just built forts all over. And then they'd usually last 3 or 4 months and we'd get tired of them. And then we'd have a reconstruction and we'd make new ones.
That's pretty ingenious.
Yeah.
Like innovative.
Yeah.
Not ingenious.
We used to steal everybody's old Christmas trees.
I pull it back. You're not a genius, but it's
No.
Innovative. Yeah, like, you know, to have the wherewithal to be like, oh, look at that discarded Christmas
free wood.
Tree.
Well, it's either that or we're going to light it on fire. And my parents were really opposed to us just starting bonfires in the alley. So
we would do fires in the fort. Yeah.
So would we. But
that was probably not safe.
That would have been better than the fake heater you had.
It would have been. It would have been.
Getting pneumonia.
I just got a Piccadilly text. My mom says the dude was married but no kids.
That's even more.
I know. Weird. I'm gonna say that the previous owner
is the one that
bought the fort, and he wasn't just a big creep. What was your Pueblo fort?
Oh, mine was a cardboard box.
Out in the woods?
Yeah, just in the back of the house.
Refrigerator boxes.
We didn't live in the woods, so. Or near woods.
But you had a cardboard box
in the back of the garage.
And, until it rained. And then
then it went away.
The fort was no
more. It was covered with like tree limbs.
Buford, you said you had forts all over town.
Yeah, we grew up out in Loganville before it got busy out there. So there was just tons of woods. We'd just wander out until we find a stream. And then we'd each build our own little fort and have a town and play with BB guns and build fires. And
I remember building lean-tos. Do you ever build?
Yeah, that's what most of them were, because we didn't have construction skills. So like, you just take big logs, lean them up against stuff, and put pine needles on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and I had that skill at one point. There's no way I could do that now.
Oh, sure.
But at 10 years old, I'd be like,
it's not that difficult.
I wouldn't even know where to start. But I would build in between two trees, like a lean-to, for shelter. I was never in the house. I was the easiest kid to raise ever.
I doubt
just
that.
Out all the time.
Seriously,
I doubt that.
Yeah, and I had, you know, I didn't have a big neighborhood, so there weren't a ton. There were a couple of kids scattered, but it was if friends came over after school, you know, you grab a sandwich, and then boom, you're out in the woods.
You're out
in the woods till it gets too dark to see, and you're like, all right, let's get out of here.
I just loved it when we got older and we started to get little tools. Like when we were 7, my dad wasn't going to let me have a hatchet.
Yeah.
But I got to like 10, 11, 12, And you start getting a slingshot, and you'd get a little pocket knife, and you'd pretend you're Davy Crockett out there.
My mom still won't let me get a knife.
Well, that's probably for
I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed. I had like a hammer. There was no tools in my house growing up.
Dad finally went to a garage sale and got a bunch of really crappy tools.
Yeah.
And said, here, stop using mine, because I was leaving them out in the woods.
Yeah, exactly.
My dad did the same thing. Exactly. Yeah. Stop stealing my stuff.
Yeah, so he finally got me like my own little tool set of just used tools from a garage sale.
One of the cool things about the fort was, you know, doing repairs like you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all right, well, how did the fort survive the winter? And then you go out and, all right, we got to repair this plank and...
Yep, clean it up and...
Yeah.
This go plank. Find new wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I'm trying to think what else we had in there. It was. Oh, I mean,
we would drag old chairs. Like we would, if you'd find like we had. I don't know why we always seemed to find old chairs because we had a plethora of lawn chairs and like the plastic school chairs. Somehow we ended up those. We ended up with a desk in there. I don't know how the hell we got that.
We sat on buckets.
Buckets. We had a lot of 5 gallon buckets.
Yeah, you got to get the buckets in there. Yep. But it was just a. I literally haven't thought about the fort in my backyard in probably 20 years, but it was. I don't know. It was good times.
Yeah.
Going out there and just, you know, being a kid.
Is it still there? Is it, I mean,
yeah. No, because I remember, like, the last year that I was, like, using the fort before I discovered girls, we were going to do a whole new rebuild. I remember taking down the walls and everything. Wow. And I think the metal, like, the tin roof is still up there. I'll check this Christmas when I go back up. But we never did it again. And then so I discovered girls and didn't use the fort for like 4 years. And then, no, I didn't.
That would have been the best place to take.
You know what? I did take one girl to the woods.
I was figuring
I did. But to go back in the woods as a teenager wasn't to play in the fort. It was like, let's go drink beer in the woods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was where, all right, we got a six pack of Bush Light. Let's go. Yeah. But I don't know. I guess if you grew up in the city, you don't have that experience. Or against the wall.
Yeah.
You don't have, you don't have that.
Longingly over it.
Yeah. All right. I've talked too much. 404-872-0750. Christy joins us on the program. Hey, Christy.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
What's going on?
Oh, congratulations on getting inducted.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. But all this talk about forts reminds me of back in 1993 when we had that blizzard come through the Georgia area, the Metro Atlanta area.
Yes.
I was growing up in Alpharetta, and I think we got between 3 to 4 inches of snow. And being 8 years old, we were able to make snow forts. Like, oh my gosh, it's Metro Atlanta, we made snow forts. And we would tunnel between the two forts that we made in our front yard, myself and my neighbor's kids as well. So that was the craziest thing ever. We actually made snow forts right here in the Metro Atlanta area.
Those were cool, too. But I remember it was the fort was especially good during the snow in winter. It was like you go trouncing around in the snow in the woods in your backyard, and then you had this dry, safe haven of the fort, and you'd go in there. I never had a tree house, though. Like, I was never rich enough to have a tree house.
Yeah, we tried to build one. It didn't work. Yeah.
They were very unsafe.
Yeah. It was basically just 2x4s nailed to a limb that could hold you.
You need parents to build a tree house, right?
It didn't work well.
Did you have a tree house? I mean, I don't want to be sexist, but, well, Christy's like, you are sexist. Yeah, I'm hanging up. We had girls in my neighborhood that would come and hang out in the fort.
Oh, yeah.
But I never, and I could be way off, but I don't think girls have that. Maybe I'm wrong. They have that same memory of the coolness of having that escape.
Our neighborhood used to help us build snow forts.
Snow forts.
Never like real forts, but for some reason they loved
girls weren't allowed in the fort.
No.
No girls club allowed. Sorry, Rachel. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Paul Manafort, meh. We'll let Herman talk about him. I want to talk about forts. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Arum. This is The Mark Arum Show.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend.
Welcome back to the show. 755, 55 degrees on Peachtree Street. A lot of fives there. Play that, the Fantasy Four. 5555. Back to the phones. David's in Norcross. David, welcome to the Mark Arum Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, doing great. Your story, or talking about tree houses, really brought back a lot of memories. Had a group of about 6 or 8 kids, 9, 10, 12 years old, and every summer we always had a summer-long project of building a treehouse.
That you guys must have been skilled craftsmen and carpenters then.
Well, we lived in a neighborhood that was being built, so we did have all the donated construction material.
Oh, that's huge. Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, we had 2-3-story tree houses with windows and doors. And it just, yeah, when you had 3 months to work on it, you and had, you know, the boy labor to get it done.
The boy labor, exactly.
Every year was great.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm glad my parents bought a house with a fort already there.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have done it.
No, because I was young, 5 years old. I can't build a fort. So I was already there, like built in, and boom, I'm ready to go. Devin's up next on the Mark Arum Show. Hey, Devin.
Hey. Congratulations on on getting inducted.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I was wanting to talk about the forts, too. It made me think as well about when I was younger. I grew up by railroad tracks, and my brother, I got 3 older brothers, and them and their friends dug caves in the walls of these 40-foot cliffs along the railroad track.
Oh, wow.
And then me and my friends kind of continued it and dug them deeper, and we had dirt slides. I mean, it was great, and watched the trains go by. And
cave forts, that's next level.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. There were about 10 of them going along this cliffside, and you had to climb up these...
Where did you grow up, Devin?
The Lawrenceville, Lilburn area is where I grew up.
Oh, interesting. So you think those caves are still there?
I don't know. I was just thinking about that when you were talking about going back and seeing if your fort was there.
Yeah. Because I'll send Buford there up to Lawrenceville tomorrow to check out the caves. Could spend the night there in the Lawrenceville caves. We'll come back with more of your thoughts on forts, tree houses, caves, whatever respite you had as a kid. Where did you go to get away from the real world? And then we'll kick off Movie Monday. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. This is the Mark Arum Show on WSB.
This is Arthur Blank, and you're listening to the Mark Arum Show.
No, I'll run this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue. I stand alone. I stand alone.
Welcome back to the show, and a good Monday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 8:08, 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Got a full crew tonight. Buford produces the show. Longoria, stoic as ever, on the other side of the takeout window. Your calls are screened by Low T Chuck.
Low T.
Programming note tomorrow. I don't know if you knew this, Chuck, because you're out in the woods in your underwear, but I'm filling in for Erickson tomorrow.
Yes.
So I'll be on from
5 to 8.
5 to 8. What are we going to do? 8 to 9. You, Bananas?
Best of.
Best of.
Yeah, right. I'm off
Andrew's
tomorrow.
Andrew's out.
Yeah. You're off tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, for Halloween. That's right. Girls. What are the girls going to do? What are they dressing up as?
The little one is Minnie Mouse, and the older one is a cop. Police
SWAT
officer.
Cop.
SWAT cop.
Nice. Will you... if you don't mind, text me pictures and I'll tweet out the adorable little kids.
Yeah, I already got pictures of them.
All right.
They tried them on the other day.
So how does that work? Are you and Leslie going to go out trick-or-treating and leave the mother-in-law at home to give out candy?
We're going
to
leave the kids at home and me and her are going to go out trick-or-treating.
Fantastic. Just put them in the fort in the backyard.
Yeah.
We were discussing, Paul, Mana Fort. But I mean, what more can we say? Bill Crane laid it all out. But I want to talk about forts. Because now that I look back on it, forts are very important in my life growing up. The backyard, the fort, the woods, the creek, the crick.
I'd have one now if I could.
Yeah, absolutely. I live up against the woods in Peachtree Creek. I could build a fort back there.
I've got a crick.
Well, I could hire someone to build a fort back there.
Yeah, I don't think you would do it.
I couldn't do it, no. Yeah. I would try, but I don't have the skill set. All right, how does this pertain to Movie Monday? One of my favorite movies of all time. Of all time. Classic.
Sandlot.
Written by Steve King. Chuck, turn his mic off for the rest of the show.
I wish I could.
Stand By Me.
That's a good one.
If there was ever a movie I could relate to. Now, they had a treehouse. They didn't have a fort. And Vern forgot the secret knock, if you remember. We never had a secret knock.
No.
I mean, if you could find your way to my fort in the woods, we let you in. There was no secret knock to get in. I don't even know if we had a door on it, to be honest with you. We must have. You know what? We had it. God, it just came back to me. We had an old refrigerator door. that we made as the door to the fort.
How'd you get a refrigerator door?
We found one in the woods.
Isn't it amazing what you find in the woods?
Like, absolutely.
And then we wonder, how did it get there?
Yeah, we had a refrigerator door. It wasn't hooked up to anything. You have to pick it up to move it to get in. It wasn't like on hinges or anything. Yeah, right, but that was the door was
it was just leaning
like
up against
it. Exactly. Jesus' tomb. You had to just roll it away all the time.
Exactly. Come on, resurrect, kids. Time for dinner. But for Movie Monday, Stand By Me, I love that movie. You guys have, I mean, you're a little younger than me, but that movie has to speak to you, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Got to find that Ray Brower kid. I mean, just as far as a coming-of-age movie, to a guy, my age, there's nothing better.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about those. A movie that perhaps reflects your childhood or your favorite coming-of-age movie like that. For me, there's no question. It's Stand By Me. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Bart's in McDonough. Bart, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mark. Really enjoying the show. Played a lot out in the creek when we were younger, and going back to age 13, we don't have a lot of fort stories, but back in 1974, when Evel Knievel was really popular, we had a friend that wanted to be Evel Knievel.
Did he try to jump the creek?
Oh, did he try? Well, you know, Evel Knievel, when he does a jump, he's got mathematicians that tell him how fast he needs to go. Well, with me being a mathematician that I wasn't, we built the ramp almost straight up, and when he hit that ramp about 30 miles an hour, he went 20 feet in the air and overshot the area that the creek that we had created for him to jump. He overshot it about 10 feet, landed on the back of his tire. The motorcycle shot out from under him, and it.
Oh, it was a legit motor. I was thinking you were doing it on a bicycle.
Oh no, it was a Yamaha 80.
Wow.
It was it, and we had in the area that we were in a lot of kids from the neighborhood came down there, and with us being just 13, there were some 18, 17-year-old older kids.
Did he get hurt, Bart?
I didn't really see him after that.
You're like, I forgot about this guy. Well, that's, I mean, motorcycle. What a motorcycle.
Yeah.
I did. I had a little Honda 60.
Really?
Yeah.
Never. I barely got a bike. I got hand-me-down bikes with a big banana seat. I remember the first non-hand-me-down bike I got, though.
Where did you get hand-me-down bikes?
From my older cousins. I got everything handed down from my older cousins. Clothes, toys, bikes, which was weird because they lived in Florida. So how the hell did they get the bike up to Connecticut?
I feel like you're about to get a text from your mother saying completely
untrue. Yeah, she was just picking stuff off fake news.
I do remember the first bike that I ever, like a real bike that I bought and could pick out.
Yeah.
We got it at this store called Caldor. Which was my favorite. I've talked about Caldor before, and it wasn't like a Huffy or one of the name brands, but it was silver and it had the big studded tires. Man, I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Cool. There was nothing better than when you got to pick out your first bike.
You know? I mean, I was 24 when I did it. It was a magical, magical moment. It was fantastic. Russ in Gainesville.
Russ, come here a minute. I want to talk to you.
Welcome to the show, partner. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent. What's
my new girlfriend is listening. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
I like you. She told me if I said I love you, she's going to dump me. So I like you, Kim.
All right, he just likes you.
That's right.
Did you meet her at Applebee's? Where'd you meet Kim?
I met Kim actually off one of those dating sites. I've never done it before. She's my very first.
Farmers Only, Christian Mingle. Where? I mean,
POF. Whatever you call it.
POF?
Plenty of fish.
Speaking of which, hold on, Russ. Can I get the Mark Aram Show breaking news sounder?
Okay.
Breaking news out of Rockdale County. 100 pounds of cocaine was seized by Rockdale County authorities. 100 pounds of cocaine. We turned to the Mark Aram Show drug czar. They said, now do the math here for me, Buford. This seems to be way off. 100 pounds. What's the street value of 100 pounds of cocaine?
I guess about $20.
Dude, come on.
Oh,
you're the czar.
It's got to be in the millions.
It's got
no help. This is the czar. 100 pounds of 10 coke.
10 mil? I don't know.
Right?
Something
and the
like
article
that.
Said 2 million. That can't.
They
be
usually
right.
overinflate it when they. Do
but
stuff
that's
like
100
that.
Pounds. Russ, what's the street value of 100 pounds of cocaine?
God, cocaine. I don't know what a pound of cocaine costs. I'd say a pound of cocaine is probably $5,000.
That's got to be low.
Yeah.
There's Chuck? Actually a website called Narcotic News, and
yes.
it gives you the cocaine prices in the United States, Asia, Europe, blah, blah, blah. In the U.S., it runs for about $1,000 a gram.
So how many grams in a pound, Buford? You're the drug czar. Come on.
I have no idea, dude.
All right, you do the math, Chuck.
Okay.
I don't know how many grams.
$1,000 for a gram. That's a little. Like,
thanks
grams
for plugging my site, Chuck.
So anyway, I just thought 100 pounds of cocaine has got to be worth more than $2 million.
Yeah,
just from watching Breaking Bad, like meth is worth more than that.
All right, so there's 453.5 grams in a pound.
So you do that.
So that's $450,000 a pound.
And there's 100 pounds.
Yeah.
So that's $40 million.
Yeah, it's way more.
It's saying about $18 million for 200 pounds. So 9 mil, 10 mil.
What are you? We're looking. Well,
just
Chuck's
Googled,
got,
I just Googled.
That's still
just,
more than 2 million.
Yeah, this was cocaine price in the U.S. from Narcotics
yeah.
News.
I applaud the folks in Rockdale for making the bust, the boys in blue. But your math's way off.
Yeah,
you got to get a Buford. You got to get Buford on.
It would sound better if you said
exactly,
it was worth $20 million.
Yeah, we pulled $60 million worth of coke off the street.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. I mean,
yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, 100 pounds. Anyway, all right, Ross. So you met her on Fish of the Sea.
Yeah.
Chicken of the Sea.
Chicken of the Sea.
Fried fish. Oh, I can't remember. Yeah, something like that.
Where did you take her on your first date?
We haven't done it yet. We've just been hanging out all day today. We haven't gone on. But she told me to plan a good date. She said, I like a man to plan a good date. If you can't plan a date, then I don't want you. So I got to plan a good one.
I got two words for you, Russ. Works for me every time. 100% close rate. You ready?
Yep.
Captain D's.
Captain D's?
Yes. Captain
Russ even
D's.
Said
well, you know, I like Captain D's. I love Captain D's.
There's something erotic about the hush puppy at Captain D's.
You don't think Red Lobster would be better?
No, I'll save that for your anniversary, Russ. You don't want to go overboard on the first date. Captain D's, and make sure you get the hush puppies.
Okay.
All right?
I'll do it. Then it's your fault if it doesn't work.
Look, I want credit when this works. And you know what you
all
do?
Right.
You take the oil from the the hush puppy, and you like tap it behind your ear like cologne. You put some of that Captain D's good frying oil back behind your ear. You will be irresistible.
To stray cats.
She'll be like...
irresistible.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Every time, yeah. Sex Panther. She will not be able to keep her hands off you, Russ. Trust me. It's all about Captain D's and the hush puppy. All right, well, keep us posted.
I will.
All right, we can do a whole segment on this. You know, Russ's dating life. Get production on that, Buford. Mm.
Okay.
All right.
I'm on it.
I'm on it.
All right, Russ. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, we'll come back. I'm thinking about Russ taking a...
That's all I can think of.
Put it behind your ear. A little cologne behind the ear. What are we talking about? Oh, it's Movie Monday. Your favorite coming-of-age movie or a movie that reminds you of your childhood. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Longoria's been playing a very good soundtrack tonight on the show. I don't know what movie it's from, but if you guess what it is, you'll win the WSB prize pack. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. It's Movie Monday on the Mark Arum Show. Welcome back to the show. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You have discovered Movie Monday. Finally, you showed up on the Mark Arum Show. Ian's in Noonan. Ian, welcome to the program. What's going on, brother?
Not much. How are y'all doing tonight?
Excellent. What's cooking?
I just had two things. The movie, I don't know, the one that I connected with the most when I was growing up was probably Goonies.
Oh, good call. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then about the whole cocaine price thing, I had somewhat of a wild childhood, and I'm just going to try to help you out with the prices.
Yes, please.
Chuck is way off. You get a gram for probably about $50, and then you can get 3.5 for $150, and you can probably just go up from there. So I mean,
so what do you think? 100 pounds, ballpark, 100 pounds of coke is worth on the street?
Man, I'm gonna have to say probably just over 100,000.
No, that's it.
Because I mean, you gotta. A quarter ounce of it is going to be.
That means $1,000. You know, that means it's $1,000 for a pound. If you're saying $100,000 for 100 pounds, that's only $1,000 a pound.
Well, you got to imagine you're going to be getting it just a little bit cheaper because you're getting bulk.
But I'm saying, if we break it down, like you give Buford a pound, and he goes out and sells it by the gram.
Oh well, yeah. Then that's how you're going to make your money.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, Buford. That's how drug guys make their money.
Yeah,
allegedly. Yeah. I just thought. I just heard. 100 pounds. Again, I have no knowledge of this, but this seems to me that would be worth more than $2 million. Isn't cocaine expensive?
I would think so.
Isn't it like that? That's the rich man's drug.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
But in Breaking Bad, they were selling the blue meth for way more than that. Like the cook was making $40 million a batch. So come on.
Yeah, maybe it was bad cocaine.
Is meth more expensive than cocaine, Buford?
I have no idea.
I think it is now.
Really?
Let Chuck.
So meth is now becoming the rich person's drug?
I know there was a problem there for a while with, you know, quote unquote soccer moms.
Wow.
Doing a little bump to get through the day was better than or easier. And I think it's easier to get a hold of. I'm not sure. I just know that.
All right, don't paint yourself in a corner, Chuck. Alex is in Roswell. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Good evening, all. How you all doing?
What's going on, brother?
All good. Thank you. So two things, Mark, coming of age or more so movie that resembles my upbringing is Bronx Tale.
Really?
That's Palmieri. Yeah, very much so. Very
All right.
So Soviet Union, just upbringing. The other thing, the whole coke price, I have no idea, never done drugs, but $1,000 a gram, it's way the heck too much.
Way that's too much, price. Chuck. You're paying too much for your coke.
That's not real.
Yeah, I agree.
The internet doesn't lie, man.
Hey, how long you been in the States?
25 years.
And you're from Soviet Union?
Soviet Union, now a small country called Armenia. Listen to your show religiously every evening.
Awesome.
Your voice in the morning.
Listen, so. I'm going to put you on hold. Can you get us Paul Manafort's cell number?
Absolutely.
All right. I want to get Manafort on the show tomorrow. Alex is going to hook us up with his cell. I'm just kidding. Alex, great that you listen, and thanks so much for calling, brother. I appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Love that.
He sounds like every Russian mobster I ever heard every movie.
He sounds like he's about to get killed by, what's his name, in Taken.
Yeah.
That's a good movie, too. That's all right. We'll come back. We'll continue Movie Monday. 404-872-0750. This is The Mark Arum Show.
This is Valerie Bertinelli, and you're listening to The Mark Arum Show.
Should I talk now?
If you want to, it's your show.
I don't want to interrupt the solo guitar riff here. All right, welcome back. Turn that off. Welcome back to the show. It's Movie Monday, 8:36, 54 degrees on Peachtree Street. Buford, Longoria, Loti, and me. Johnny Kilbasa straight ahead with a football minute. I'm curious to what he has to say about the Dogs whooping up the Gators. We're discussing forts in honor of Paul Manafort's indictment today. I had a backyard fort. Buford had many of them. Chuck had, he built his own out of old Christmas trees, which is very MacGyver-esque. And Longoria made them out of clay. We call them adobe.
Mm-hmm.
In grade school, we learned about your adobe.
Thank you.
Your adobe fort. Transmitting that into a movie Monday, a movie that you relate to your childhood, or perhaps your favorite coming of age movie. For me, it is Stand By Me. Goonies is another good one that the guy said. You got anything come to mind for you, Bananas? Any movie that your favorite coming
Goonies,
of age
Goonies, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say Goonies.
Goonies was good.
Yeah. I had to do the truffle shuffle a whole bunch.
I can imagine. We just didn't have any Asian kids in my neighborhood, so we didn't have...
you couldn't fill out the roster?
Yeah, and we had no girls that looked as cute as the cute girl in Goonies in my neighborhood.
That's unfortunate.
Erin Reynolds was probably the cutest girl in my neighborhood.
Sure, it was a girl.
She was Torrington cute. Yeah.
Okay.
E-R-I-N.
What is that, Piccadilly?
Oh, geez. Well, let's see. She was in fourth grade.
that's a tough translation matrix.
She was Piccadilly 8, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. So, let's just leave it there. 404. I'm not grading fourth graders anymore on their looks. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Jake joins us in Atlanta. Jake, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mark?
What's going on, sir?
Nothing much, man. Favorite time childhood movie, coming of age movie, I'd say like Big Trouble in Little Chinatown.
What kind of childhood did you have?
I mean, it was a wild one, you know, and because of that wild childhood, I'm still a little wild, but cocaine prices, a kilo's $28,000.
Oh, hold on. Let me write this down.
You got to do 100 pounds divided by 2.25 kilos, so Rockdale hit it pretty much right on the money with $2 million.
Really? All right, yeah. So Buford did the math during, it was very funny to watch Buford do the math during the news break, by the way. And you, what'd you say, 1.9?
1.92.
That just seems, I mean,
I'm sure you get a discount at that much, so.
I mean, 30.
Well, yeah. We're talking about street retail.
About the going street rate for 1 kilo. So if you're buying,
did it like used to be more expensive?
Kilos, you're probably talking $22,000 a kilo at max.
Didn't it used to be more expensive in the '80s?
Oh yeah, it was over $50,000 a kilo.
So what happened? Why did they people get Clark Smart and they started shopping around for? Why is cocaine cheaper now than it was
at
in the '80s?
I believe it's supply and demand. You know, there's more of a supply now and less of a demand because there's so many other drugs out there, you know, like meth. And
back in the '80s, Buford only had one choice.
You had coke or pot, pretty much.
So is crack still a thing?
I mean, it is, but it's not that big of a thing.
No, I can't keep up. That's why we hire Buford, to keep me.
The
drugs are, because I don't know. I knew kids in college that bought crack.
Really?
Yeah. They're not friends of mine.
Yeah, I was saying, who were you hanging out with?
But I was like, why are you buying crack? They're like, well, I just wanted to experience it. I wanted to see what it was like. I'm like, what?
I knew lots of guys that bought cocaine. That seemed easy to get. Yeah. Crack seemed oddly unattainable.
Well, in Montana, I would imagine. But, you know, in the tough streets of Poughkeepsie, New York, there was a crackhead on every corner. We had a crackhead clean our house. Marnie the crackhead. That was her name.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. We'd throw big parties, and she was the cleaning lady at the bowling alley
college.
I looked at. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about your house, and
No.
Your mom just hired some crackhead to clean your house?
clean the house. I could have sworn that's what
she
you
cleaned
were
your fort,
about.
Too?
Yeah, she cleaned my fort. No, in college, after we'd have these big parties, we had Marnie the crackhead. Who,
did you call her that to her face?
Yeah. Oh. That was her name. She went by Marnie the crackhead. And
she's proud of it.
She would come over, and looking back, like, I thought she was probably 50.
Oh, no.
But she was probably 30 and just cracked out. But she would come over, and she loved cleaning up after our parties because I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But she'd find, like,
stuff.
Like a vodka bottle would have a little in it.
Oh,
and she'd pour it into a flat, you know, it was just a... Let's move on. What am I talking about?
I don't know.
What's going on here?
Going down the wrong.
William and Tucker. William, welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, buddy.
I got a movie I bet you've never seen, and although I think you've seen every other movie on the planet.
Which is it?
I don't know if you've even heard of it. You'd be familiar with the Poseidon Adventure.
Yes.
Okay. Did you know that that's a takeoff on... of the original movie, this is not a sequel. It's
remake.
No, it's not a remake. It's a robbery.
What movie are you referring to?
The Last Voyage.
The Last Voyage. Tell me about it.
Starring Yul Brynner. It was billed, because I was managing chain of theaters back in the 50s, and Hollywood kind of screwed up. They thought the movie was so strong that they just didn't advertise it the way they did most movies. They spent very little money on it.
Is this movie about a boiler explosion on board an aging ocean liner?
Basically, yeah. Don't remember all the details, but
okay.
It was in black and white, and it was billed as 90 minutes of suspense.
Okay.
And I would say they were 99.99 correct.
I got to check The Last Voyage. I got to check it out. That reminds you of your childhood?
No, I was managing a theater.
Oh, all right. Very good. All right, William, I got to run because Johnny Kilbasa is on hold, but thanks, buddy. Joining us now on the non-greasy, non-salty hotline, this is the football hotline, Johnny Kilbasa and the Football Minute. How you doing, Johnny?
Good, Mark Arum. I'm rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, cracked out, whacked out, sacked out, and ready to rock.
Johnny Kilbasa ready to break down the weekend that was in the world of pigskin with the Johnny Kilbasa Football Minute.
Mark, your Piedmont College Bulldogs are 6'6", sticking them from every angle, and everyone on team's capable for rushing 100 yards or more. Thanks to those big dogs up front, they went down to the cocktail party, made ugly boots out of them gator. Now they're number two. Keep chopping wood, Kirby. Your Midtown Absentee Engineers got rambled and wrecked by Dobbles Wobbles. The game was like watching a station wagon race a Corvette down the connector during a rush hour rainstorm. Your Hank Aaron Drive Panthers finally got to play a home game, and they won again. They gave a flat tire to the Jaguars of South Alabama. The Jags are about the only team playing in Bama this week because War Eagle and Roll Tide were both off. Your Magic City Dirty Birds took it up the jersey and just held off those pesky upstarts Jets. The poisonous nuts of Ohio State traveled all the way down to the Nines of Liberty. Oops, I messed that one up. Mark Arum's football Giants managed not to lose this week. Oh, because they were on a bye. The worst Cleveland Browns ever team was on a bye next week, thankfully, because they played in London. At least they won't manage to suck on two continents in the same week. And as we speak, the Barbecue City Chiefs try to hold off those damn Broncos on the MNF.
Wow, with seconds to spare. I'm assuming the Ohio State win was, I mean, huge. You're an Ohio guy originally, and the come from behind win against Penn State. I know Georgia fans very happy about that win.
Yeah, and I think that was the first illegal procedure time I've ever messed one up on the Football Minute. So that was a little bit of history.
No, you're
right
fine.
There.
You're absolutely fine. Speaking of football, so the first playoff rankings come out tomorrow night. We will have them live for you here on the Mark Arum Show with WSB Sports Director Jay Black. Tomorrow, Johnny, we are on 5-8, but you're off on Tuesday, so it doesn't matter. I don't know why I'm telling you that.
I'm always on call for the Mark Arum Show, Mark.
Indeed. Also, Jamie Dupree, I know you're a big fan, Johnny. At 9 p.m., he's going to be doing a live online chat about the Manafort indictment today, starting at 9 p.m. on WSBRadio.com. We'll answer all your questions, take your comments, et cetera. So I expect you to be logged on to WSBRadio.com at 9 p.m., Johnny.
I definitely will, and I'll be typing frantically, asking him all kinds of questions.
And after you go to WSBRadio.com, go to JohnnyKilbasa.com, where you can listen to the Sausage Hut podcast and buy cool Johnny Kilbasa gear, correct?
Any day of the week, 24 hours a day, JohnnyKilbasa.com.
All right, John. Sorry, I'm scatterbrained today. We'll talk to you on Wednesday with a fast food review, though, buddy.
Can't wait, Mark. See you then.
Have a good Halloween, Johnny K.
Thanks. Trick or treat.
All right.
I'm on my feet.
Give Longo something Hispanic to eat. I don't know.
Kind of Hispanic.
We gotta work on the Football Minute transitions.
Yeah.
That's on me. That's on the host. That's not on Johnny. I gotta come up with a clever way to get in and out of that segment, and we're not there yet.
No.
Mike's in Doraville. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, listen, stand by me, and I got a little story about it. For a long time, our Doraville code people were as aggressive as the Doraville police, and I had a vehicle that quit running and was sitting in the driveway, and they came and told me I had to get it out of there. So we have a little storage place up across from the Buford Highway Farmers Market, and I went up there, and I didn't really want to pay to store this vehicle because I only needed a couple weeks. So the guy said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you put it here if it's only going to be a couple of weeks, and I won't charge you, and we'll just kind of hide it from management. I said, well, that's a good deal. And I started to walk out, and he said, have you ever seen Stand By Me? I said, my favorite movie. I said, when I saw that movie, I said, that was us growing up.
Exactly.
We had the railroad tracks
exactly.
and everything. And so I said, I've actually got the movie at home. He said, well, if you'll go get it and bring it up here, I'll autograph it. And I'm looking at this guy like, well, who are you? And so I asked him, he said, well, I was the stunt double when Jerry O'Connell had to jump off the bridge when the train was coming.
The train dodging scene. And,
yes. And so he was the stunt double for the fat kid. And so I've got that movie in my hand right now with his signature on there with the Sharpie.
That's fantastic.
And, I could tell that was the highlight of his life. And he was probably about I don't know, 50 at the time. But being able to be in that movie was his highlight.
That's he was the fat kid stunt double in Stand By Me.
Yes, he was.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, I just, if you haven't seen that movie, any millennials out there, do yourself a favor and watch Stand By Me. It's fantastic. All right, last chance to guess the movie soundtrack. I have zero clue what movie soundtrack this is. If you know, call now, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, on Twitter and Instagram, at Mark Arum. It's Movie Monday on The Mark Arum Show.
The crunch of metal and fiberglass. If somebody causes you to lay your bike down, Steel Horse Law can help. They're a law firm dedicated to protecting down bikers' rights. Motorcycle injury lawyers who ride. Neil Bortz here, and I've ridden with attorney George Stein, and he can help you get back on your feet, get your bike repaired, your medical bills paid, and your case resolved. Get a free Rider's Advantage card at steelhorselaw.com or call 404-522-1000.
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Final segment of Movie Monday. Mark Arum with you tomorrow. Programming note, what time are we on tomorrow, Buford?
5 o'clock.
5 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. TC and Griffin has a guest on the movie soundtrack. TC, what movie soundtrack have we been listening to tonight?
Going to say Little Nicky.
Is it Little Nicky?
It is Little Nicky.
You keep picking freaking movies I've never seen.
It's the Adam Sandler movie.
I know. I know of it. I just never seen it. All right. Well, that's why I didn't guess it. TC, well, hang on the line.
You've won the W.
Listen, I got to tell them what the prize is. Four passes to see 20th Century Fox's upcoming film, Murder on the Orient Express, based on the Agatha Christie novel starring Johnny Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer, Daisy Ridley, and Kenneth Branagh. It's in theaters nationwide on Friday, February 10th. That's a Friday. Also known as November 10th. I am out of it today.
You are.
Yeah. All right, real quick, let's close out Movie Monday. 10 seconds or less, please. Bob, what do you have?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
So, growing up, used to work at the IHOP down on North Avenue before it turned into a Chinese restaurant or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But Christy McNichol came in when they were filming Little Darlings out at Hard Labor Creek State Park.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Her and Tate O'Neill.
They both came in?
No.
Oh, just Christy McNichol.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. And, you know, I too had the fort over the creek where we used to catch salamanders made out of pallets and stuff.
Yeah, I used to catch, we called them crawfish. You might know them as crayfish, but in Connecticut they were crawfish. Crawfish or crayfish here?
They're crawfish here.
All right, we called them crayfish then. Whatever it is down here, we had the opposite. We used to catch them. We wouldn't eat them. We would just keep them as pets for a day until they died. Taylor's in Bethlehem. Taylor, real quick, what do you have?
So probably the best coming of age and something that describes my childhood, the Dead Poets Society.
Good call. Classic Robin Williams. They did. There was another one they did years later. They tried to bite that with Kevin Kline. Living Poets Society or something? I don't know. It was a very similar movie, but it wasn't as good. Dead Poets Society. They went in a cave, Longoria. They didn't have a Pueblo Adobe
no, they didn't.
Hut. Rodney's in Dunwoody. Rodney, real quick, what do you have?
Summer of 42.
Oh, good call. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Saving the best for last there with Rodney. Rick's in Kennesaw. Rick, what do you have?
Sandlot. We used to have groups of kids. That was awesome. We had groups that we had our own little neighborhood club team. We played other club teams.
All right, all right. Freaking Sandlot's awful. I'm sorry. Bruce in Snellville, real quick. What do you have, Bruce?
Yeah, we stole all the signs from the construction sites and built our own fort.
Out of construction signs?
Yes.
I like it. I am done.
Yeah, you're done.
I am not getting started the show, I'll tell you that much right now. Bam, bam, bam.
And now, are you guys ready for the Mark Arum Star of the Show?
Diamond Bill Crane is going to get star of the show. He actually put some meat on the plate today, give us the lowdown on the Manafort indictment. Speaking of which, Go online right now to WSBRadio.com. Jimmy Dupree is going to answer all your questions about today's big breaking news. We will continue the conversation online on Twitter at Mark Arum, Facebook Mark Arum WSB, Instagram Mark Arum, and now on Snapchat Mark Arum Show. In the meantime, go to sleep, little baby.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
Guests of the Mark Arum Show stay at the All Suite Omni Hotel, located in the heart of Chicago's Magnificent Mile.